If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10. And I'm unaware of the time, and I believe God has given me a thought to share with you, to deliver the mail, to speak the words of life this morning. I believe that God's going to minister to our minds, to our hearts, our emotions, to equip us, or remind us how he has already equipped us to discern, to differentiate the many different voices that are speaking or trying to speak into our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10 says, "There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in this world, in the world, and none of them is without significance." This world is filled with voices. Voices speaking all sorts of things. The news outlets, they're speaking. The government, it's speaking. Social media is filled with an endless, always on tap stream of words that are calling for someone to pay attention. Just click. And for the born again believer, follower of Jesus Christ, it can be a challenge at times to discern and differentiate the voice of God over the roar of every other voice. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Before we go any further, I want to ask you a question. I want to engage your minds a little bit. The question I want to ask you is, would you consider yourself to be shy or outgoing? If you had to put it on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being very shy and 10 being very outgoing, how would you rate yourself? Or perhaps maybe a better way to ask is, how would other people define you, people like your family? Would they rate you as a 1 being very shy? Or maybe somewhere in the middle, a 5, somewhat outgoing some of the time, but not all the time, or perhaps you're a 10, being very outgoing. And in fact, you make it a point to shake every hand of every person you pass in church. If you ever have met Brother Kurt Coffey's father, then you know a 10, because he shakes every hand of every person every time. He's exceptionally outgoing and energetic. Now, you don't have to share your rating with anyone, but let's take a moment right now in your minds, contemplate. Keep in mind, there is no wrong answer. This is not a trick question. We're not, 10 is not good and 1 is not bad. We're just assessing ourselves. And Ped, do you have your, where are you at on the spectrum of shy versus outgoing? All right, now give yourself a high five mentally and pat on the back. Good job. You followed the instructions. As a follow-up, here's a very similar question. Using that same scale, how would you rate my shyness? Again, we're just warming up our minds a little bit here. As you can see, I'm standing here in front of all of you, so I can't be that shy, right? There's a certain threshold that I must have crossed. But I wasn't always this outgoing. As an adolescent, I was what you would definitely call shy. And like many children, I found it difficult to talk to people, especially people I didn't know. On a scale of 1 to 10, I probably would have been at least a 2, maybe a 1.5. I think it was somewhere in middle school during those junior high years that I realized that part of my shyness or my nature to kind of be withdrawn was due to the fact that I had a lot of conversations with myself in my head. Today we call that an inner monologue. Just a moment ago, I asked you a question here, and hundreds of inner monologues were taking place. As you did what I asked you to do when I asked you to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, you kicked off a conversation in your head, presenting evidence to yourself, debating even, perhaps, with yourself, where are you at? Oh, no, he said this. No, I'm that. And here's the good news for all of us. It's okay to have an inner dialogue, to hear voices in our heads. to have that inner monologue. There's nothing abnormal with hearing your own voice as you contemplate things in your mind or your mind's eye. But for me as a young person, sometimes those inner conversations, they did become problematic. The problem was that I would get so caught up in my own inner dialogue that I would miss out on the conversation that was going on all around me. At school, my teachers would accuse me of daydreaming. At the dinner table, my parents would ask me, is everything okay? It wasn't that I didn't have anything to say, but instead of sharing my words, I would just talk to myself in my own mind. Me, myself, and I were kind of best friends. We got along really well together. We felt comfort amongst ourselves. And it wasn't until high school, when I got a job at a sporting goods store, that I knowingly or unknowingly put myself in a situation where I could no longer be shy. See, as a salesperson or working in a storefront, you have to talk to people. And so I had to learn how to speak and how to use my energy to wrangle my thoughts, to focus. And what I found out was that in the right context, I actually wasn't shy at all. In fact, I became very outgoing. I just needed an outlet. I just needed the right stage to be set. Fast forward now some 30 plus years. Instead of having to invest extra energy to try to speak up, now I have to use that same energy or even more to try to keep my mouth shut. Long enough to listen to what is being said. Yes, it's true. It takes me more energy to listen than to talk. For some people, it's the opposite is true, that it takes them more energy to talk than to listen, but we're all different. We all have our own personality. Some things are just hardwired into us. It takes more energy for listen, even when it looks like I'm listening. What you don't realize is inside, there's still a conversation that's going on in my head. You know, over the years, I've taught oftentimes on the power of the words that we speak. I've shared with you many times what the scriptures say, like in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, where there's power in the tongue to speak words of life or words of death. We exercise the power of our words most often when we speak them out loud, words spoken in prayer to God, words spoken of intercession, words spoken of worship. Even here this morning, we sang songs, words, powerful words unto our God. These words are important because Romans chapter 10 says, how can anyone call on the Lord except they believe? And how can anyone believe except they hear? And how can anyone hear without a preacher? Verse 17 of Romans 10 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Words are so powerful, it's what God used in creation to speak everything into existence. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Words are so powerful that God uses his spoken language, or a spoken language, tongues, as the initial sign of the infilling of his spirit that takes up residency in an individual. And it's through those same words uttered by the Spirit of God, as the Spirit gives the utterance, that God's perfect will is spoken into our lives, according to Romans chapter 8. But this morning, I'm not preaching about the words that are spoken out loud. This morning, I'm calling attention to the voice that's in our minds, our inner monologue, the words that we speak to ourselves, the words that we speak in our minds. And while they're not spoken out loud, they're heard deep, deep down, over and over. And certainly while those words spoken in our minds don't have the same power as words spoken out loud, they are heard nonetheless. And due to their nature of being in our minds, we often put them on replay, speaking them over and over in our minds again and again. And when our inner monologue is speaking words of life, there's a multiplication of the blessings of God in our lives, a recognition of God's power and authority when we replay those things over and over, speaking words of life to ourselves. The scriptures speak of praying always, of singing and making melody in our hearts. That's our inner monologue it's talking about. Not to literally speak always but to speak to ourselves words of life, words of light, singing and making melody in our hearts, whether out loud or in our minds. It's that inner monologue. And so while we are instructed to speak words of life in our minds, sometimes it goes in the wrong direction. Instead of words that bring life, sometimes we speak to ourselves words that squeeze the light and the life of God out of our lives. Proverbs 23 and 7 confirms this principle and the importance of our inner monologue. Scriptures say, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Those words that we speak to ourselves, that we put on replay, will lead us in some direction. Maybe you keep thinking to yourself, and I hope this isn't true, but I'm sure all of us at some point in time have thought thoughts like this. Maybe you've thought or are thinking, I'll never live a life that's pleasing to God. Well, if you keep telling yourself that, that may actually come to pass. Hear the word of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Maybe some of you have told or been told at some point in time in your life, well, you'll never amount to anything. You're ignorant. You're unintelligent. If you keep replaying those words in your mind to yourself, you will start to believe them. And now all of a sudden, we can perpetuate a lie to ourselves. Our inner monologue can betray us so easily. Perhaps you've fallen into sin, and that sin that so easily gets a hold of you. If you keep telling yourself, I'll never be able to overcome that thing, this morning you need to stop lying to yourself. Because if you don't stop perpetuating the lie, you may never receive the power of God's promise to have dominion over sin, because God does not lie, but our voice, it's in our head. It says all sorts of things. If you can relate to any of those examples in any way, God has some words that he wants to plant in your heart today. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." God wants to write the next chapter in your story. He wants to speak words of life and light into your life, but you have to give him the pen. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him," speaking of Jesus, "that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider the example that Jesus has given us, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." You could win the battle over this flesh. You could put on a nice suit, a pretty dress. You could come to church faithfully, and yet you could contest the battle or surrender the battle that's in your minds, and lest you be wearied. "Faint not in your minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin." If your inner monologue has been betraying you, the Bible says, look to Jesus to be your author, your finisher. Look to the Word of God for words of life. We're so good at speaking things into existence that we can convince ourselves of just about anything. It doesn't matter if it happened like we think it did. If our thoughts keep repeating enough times, whatever it is, that lie will become our truth. We can convince ourselves that it was our fault for someone else's abuse of us. And while it may be true that you were abused or misused by someone who should have protected you, you don't have to believe the lie that says you caused it, or that you deserved it, or that you should have done something different about it. These patterns that we sometimes struggle to get away from is what the Bible calls a stronghold in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." This morning, it's not a physical battle. It's not an eye for an eye. It's not a tooth for a tooth. But rather, it's a war in our mind. Not through physical actions, but through words that we speak to ourselves. Words that may have once betrayed us, fought off by words that bring life and light into our lives. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." There it is, that the strongholds, the thoughts that we repeat, put on replay in our mind, speaking them to ourselves over and over again, convincing ourselves that a lie is actually truth when in fact it's not. These are the strongholds. These are the words that are contrary to the word of God. Verse 5 confirms this, casting down every imagination, every false dialogue, casting down every high thing, every word we think that somehow thinks opposite of what God's word says is true. Every word that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, it's a stronghold that we are to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Not physical actions, but actions nonetheless. You know, at the end of every service, we have an altar call, but we don't have to wait till the altar call to start to take action. I'll tell you what, right now, why don't we wage a little war? With every eye closed, why don't we take inventory of some of those things, those patterns, those strongholds that keep coming back? They may not have been speaking to us this morning, but yet they speak to us on a regular basis. Things like, "You'll never be," or "It's too late," or "I don't even know if I'm saved." Those kind of words that are false, that go against the word of God. And now that you have a hold of them, I want you to picture in your minds those words, those strongholds being obliterated. Picture the tower that's being torn down. Imagine the angel armies that are doing battle on your behalf, and draw your own sword of the Spirit out and slice it through whatever it is. The Word of God says that we are to cast down every imagination, every thought that goes against the Word of God. Opening our eyes, turning our attention to verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, or actually verse 6, having in readiness to revenge all disobedience. God is calling us to action, not a physical action, but a mental action. That when our obedience is fulfilled, when we take action and when we take dominion to pull down the strongholds that are those thoughts that we speak to ourselves over and over again, we'll have had revenge against our past disobedience when we didn't do those things. Having fulfilled what God has asked us to do, we avenge ourselves, so to speak, dismantling and identifying those strongholds, speaking different words against them in our minds. "I know I think this, but this is what the Word of God says." Verse 7 says, "Do you look on after the outward appearance? Do you focus only on the things that are external? Things that other people can see, things that other people can hear to represent your walk with God? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let himself think again that as he is Christ, even so we are as Christ, are Christ." Don't fool yourself into just having an appearance that resembles a child of God. But rather bring your inner monologue into captivity. This morning when you had a conversation with yourself to assess your own rating of 1 through 10 on how shy or outgoing you were, I wonder how many of us spoke to ourselves in a negative tone. On the other end of the spectrum, perhaps some of us spoke with an arrogant tone. In either case, I wonder how many of us lied to ourselves. So willing to more harshly judge someone else while we give ourselves a pass. Pat ourselves on the back. Be careful what voice it is that you listen to, even in your own mind. No matter who you are, there are going to be times when it feels like there's a war being waged within us. It's what it says in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Here Paul writes to the Romans and he explains about the fight that takes place within our inner dialogue. Romans 7, 18 says, "For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Paul, he's so afraid to even confront his own inabilities, he starts to talk almost like in a riddle, as if not to say it so clearly that it would be obvious. "For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil, that which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Here's a principle in verse 20 that we ought to speak to ourselves at times. It's a principle that is, you are not your sin. I know we're focusing on the dialogue that is in our minds, but you know, there's times when we ought to speak some words of life and light in order to allow that word to enter into our mind in a way that penetrates our hearts and starts to resonate within our souls. Why don't we do it right here, right now? If you would repeat after me, "I am not my sin." And we ought to practice that again one more time. "I am not my sin." We have all sinned and fallen short. But you are not defined by what acts of sin you commit, because we are not our sin. It's not sin. It's not us, but sin that is within us. And while we can die in our sin if left unrepented, our identity is not defined by our past mistakes or present woes or future fails. As long as every time we fall and fail, we take steps turning away from that thing and taking steps to walk in the opposite direction, we are not our sin. Our identity is not defined by it. But that doesn't stop our inner monologue from trying to define us as it. "Well, this is just who you are. This is what you've always been. This is what you will always be." That is a lie. That goes against the Word of God. Don't speak words to yourself that would dismantle the Word of God that wants to speak into our lives. Romans chapter 7, verse 21 goes on to say, "I find then a law, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind." There's an argument in my head, a debate. There's sides that are being drawn, and I'm the only one that's participating in it. "Warring against the law of my mind and bringing into captivity the law of sin which is in my members." You see, when we wage war in the space between our ears, it'll bring victory to the physical body that we dwell in. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to the dismantling of thought patterns, to the rewriting of words that hurt and weigh us down. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" I can't seem to escape myself sometimes. I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. We can't separate ourselves from ourselves, but we can do battle in our minds. Many of you know that my wife and I, we put a diet to the test this year. It's a program called the Plant Paradox. I shared part of this journey with you as an illustration in a message entitled "Wake Up and Read the Labels." Some of you may remember that. And while I'm the last one to really should have ever preached on diets, I've experienced some things this year that have opened my eyes, and you could say that even opened the inner monologue of my ears as well. You see, up until this year, I can honestly say I have never, ever been on a diet. In part because there's some foods in life that I just can't imagine living without. Raise your hand if you've ever had a voice that you've heard in your head that says, it's time to get something sweet. All right, some of you are still lying to yourselves. Believe it if you want. What if I told you there's a growing body of evidence that the voice that you hear that says, it's time to get something sweet, isn't the voice that's coming from your brain? So where else would it be coming from? Well, perhaps it's coming from our gut. Well, that's partly true, but it's still not that stomach that's grumbling or that feeling of hunger that I'm talking about. No, that's not the voice that says it's time to get something sweet. What if I told you the voice that's in your head that says it's time to get some candy? It's time to eat some bread. It's time to drink another can of Mountain Dew. What if that voice wasn't coming from you, but rather from bacteria that lives in your body? What? I know, I was shocked too. Now, I'm not a doctor. Obviously, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a microbiologist. But did you know that within this body, this flesh, there are thousands of types of bacteria? And while bacteria itself is microscopic and, you know, through our own naked eye, we can't identify it easily, if we were to accumulate all of the bacteria that resides in this body, by design, mind you, one study has estimated that the weight of all that bacteria that's residing in our bodies is equal to the weight of the brain that's in our bodies. That is a lot of bacteria. And while this bacteria doesn't have an audible voice, that it can speak to us chemically, speaking to our bodies through our central nervous system. And the bacteria in our gut can send our brains messages. It's proven, it's science, it's been tested enough times to say it's true. Of course, you won't hear the pharmaceutical companies tell you about this, but this bacteria that's in our body, that's in our digestive system, can speak things that may not necessarily be true, but they feel true and they sound true, and in our hearts and our minds, they are true, because I cannot live without that. Now, I'm not preaching a diet this morning, but I'm here to tell you that don't believe everything that you feel and think. I couldn't imagine a day when I wouldn't love donuts. I couldn't imagine living a happy life without some sweets. But what I found out this year is that once I stopped feeding those lying bacteria the things that they desired, once I starved them off, literally, their voices went quiet. See, I had up to this point never experienced that, and so I just assumed that this was just part of me. I just have to eat bread with lots of butter on it. I just have to go to Culver's and get custard, and I just have to, right? Because who wants to live a life that's not fulfilled? I've preached Culver's many, many times. But for 8 months from the beginning of this year, from January until what was probably the beginning of August, I was holding the line pretty well on this diet. Not 100%, but, you know, maybe once a week I'd get a little custard or something sweet at the most. And honestly, the voice that had compelled me daily to go find it somewhere, it stopped. And even once a week didn't start it back up. But then I think it was around the middle of August when my wife and I were celebrating our anniversary, you know. Celebrated with food, because we're Pentecostals. That's what we do. At least that's what I do. She doesn't do that. Right? We don't drink, we don't smoke, but we do enjoy a good meal. And so I fell off the wagon a little bit, you know, the sugar wagon, and that voice that had been dormant wasn't real loud at first, but it started to back up, and Let's see, it's been 5 weeks now. And I've gotten back into the habit of hiding some Twix bars in my truck. Oh, honey, yeah, I'll go to the grocery store because it's on the way to Dairy Queen where I can go through the drive-thru and get an ice cream cone and it'll all be gone before I get home like nothing ever happened. Honey, there's a place in the garage where the cabinets are, where I store tools and stuff. And sometimes there's a bag of donuts in there too. So just so you know, I've gotten better at this. I already confessed all this to her. And I told her this week it's time for me to go hardcore again to cut out those things because I want the voices in my mind to stop. Because of what I've realized, and again, I'm not preaching a diet, I'm just telling you what I've experienced here. I've realized that there's so many things that I was putting in me that were actually slowing me down, bringing fog into my mind, causing my stomach to not feel well. And while it tasted good, the voice in my head that said I should have more wasn't my voice, it was another voice. And not only do these bad bacteria produce voices that demand to be fed, there's a parallel work being done to study their effects on our emotions, and there's very hard evidence that our ability to be emotionally resilient is often tied to the types of bacteria that are thriving or not in our bodies based on what we take into our bodies. Depression and anxiety may be a side effect of not just our mental well-being, but our physical state of being through the things that we are fueling ourselves with. Psychiatrist says, take some Prozac. The nutritionist says, stop eating sugar. But the Bible says, when that voice starts to betray you, think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure and lovely, if it's of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Start to speak words of life and light into our own monologue, inner monologue. And while it should go without saying that if we consume the carnal things of this world, it may be our diet that we need to address that causes our own thoughts to betray us, to convince us of things that are not true. This morning, if the musicians would come, you know, since we're talking about hearing voices in our heads, I thought I should share. There is another voice that I hear in my mind sometimes. It's my wife's voice. I hear her voice most often, for example, when I'm at the sink and I'm about to leave a dirty dish in the sink instead of putting in the dishwasher. And I hear this voice. It sounds just like my wife. Is the dishwasher broken? I made the dish. I ate the food. The other week, Brother Ricky, I was trying to explain to you how this voice was a good thing in my life. Because it's her voice that has caused me to go beyond myself at times, not just to do the job, but to do the job right. You see, we do lots of projects around the house, in the yard, and Brother Ricky was helping me one day because it was just, I confessed the other week, I sometimes bite off more than I can chew because I'm an optimist, and so I got a helping hand. I thank God for that. And I was trying to explain to him as we were working, as we were moving some sod from where I was putting in the stone patio to a new place where it was going to live. And I was trying to explain to him that, no, this line has to be straight along the side of the driveway we were putting in, because I can already hear the voice in my head that sounds a lot like my wife say, did you mean for that to be crooked? And so I've learned, like, just don't just do the job, just do it right, because she's right. Did you mean for it to be crooked? No, I didn't mean for it to be crooked, but it is crooked because I didn't take the time to actually make it straight. There was another example. I think there must have been a couple that day. There was, in the same area we're putting in the stone patio or plan to, there was a step off the back of the garage, a concrete step, and As Brother Ricky arrived to help me, I was swinging a sledgehammer on it, trying to break it up. And it's like, oh, what are you doing? It's like, well, my wife asked me, did you plan to leave that concrete step in the way? And I, of course, when she asked me, I had no words except, no, grumble a little bit. Because I already knew it was the right thing to do was to remove it, but it would have been easier just to leave it and work around it. And I mean, it would have functioned. It wouldn't have looked as good. It wouldn't have been as complete. But it was the right thing to do, and so I just didn't fight it. I just accepted it because I didn't want to do the right thing. I wanted to do the easy thing, and the easy thing would have been not to swing the sledgehammer and break the step up, right? Small stuff. And that's why this morning God wants to speak into our hearts to cause us to do the right thing, to allow His voice to move us past what we would accept otherwise. Because if it's just us, sometimes we'll just let it go. You know, it doesn't really matter. And while He's patient with us, His right is the only right that counts. We don't actually have a say in it. We just have the opportunity to listen and to obey. And so when you hear His voice say, did you mean for that to be crooked? Let me tell you, it's not really a question that He's asking. And when you feel convicted, all you have to do is say, no, Lord, I just didn't do the job all the way. And take a step to make it right. Take a step to make it straight again. To align our lives with what we know pleases God. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. As we learn to discern and differentiate the voice of God that speaks words of life and light, the word of God that He's hid in our hearts versus our own voice, versus the voices in this world, versus the voices of the bacteria in our stomach that says it's time to eat some sugar, we'll never perish. We won't fail. He's promised us if we walk in the Spirit that we will not succumb to the lust of this flesh. We will be overcomers. There is victory. There is hope. You are not your sin. You don't have to be this way. Stop convincing yourself otherwise. This morning, would you stand with me? Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you're feeling something this morning, that is God knocking at the door of your heart. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Don't believe everything you think. Everything you tell yourself. Take it to the Lord and say, is this true? Is this what your word says? What do you think, God? And let Him be the author, the finisher of your faith, of your inner monologue. Don't let the strongholds stay strong. You might not break it all down in one day, but I promise you, if you start chipping away, if you start pulling into captivity that thought when it enters in that says, you'll never be, it's too late, there's no hope. If you grab a hold of that and say, get behind me, Satan, thus saith the word of God, I have a hope, I have a promise. There will come a time when you will look back and you will see that thing is no longer there. This morning as we open up this altar, would you come? Would you open the door? Thank you, Jesus.